kitchen. There's hard to be raining, I do.
Come over here, kid, will you, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. And you fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
Best potatoes, yeah.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. How are you doing this evening? Oh, hot day. But you know, it's not Indian summer yet. Everyone's talking about how it's Indian summer, but it's not. Indian summer doesn't really come until after the first killing frost. And the foods are a little bit different for Indian summer. At least they are from my point of view. A hallmark is, oh, it's hot, but I can't have a BLT because that first killing frost takes care of the tomatoes. So there are still really good tomatoes out there. I can attest. I've had 3 BLTs in the last 2 days. you know, sometimes you just got to do it. You just got to go for it right there at the end. And speaking of good tomatoes, did you go to the Santa Rosa Original Farmers Market yesterday? Its position up at the Wells Fargo Center for the Arts has changed slightly. Instead of being in the southeast corner of the parking lot, it's shifted so that it's sort of in the center east, a little bit closer to the north. And right now, and for 2 weeks, it's under this enormous, enormous tent. And it was just glorious. It was so wonderful. This tent provided all the shade, and there was something that felt very European about it. I just heard everyone commenting on that. And there were some things that haven't been at the market before. I know that Libby of Beet Generation Farm has purchased a rotating basket griller, a grill basket, so that it's a hand-cranked thing with propane flame, and she was roasting peppers. She was roasting padrones and shishitos yesterday, and I think she's going to be doing that every week and probably roasting some other foods too. So that was a really, really nice element of the market yesterday. And something about the layout also made conversation a little more spontaneous, I guess. I was having some paella and ended up with all these different people coming and going from the table where I was sitting. Everyone who sat down had a connection to someone else at the table without realizing it. So the tent should still be there next week and possibly for the following week, but the use permit requires that it's only up for 180 days and then it's down for 180 days. And another thing, too, that market is going to be shifting its position there at 50 Mark West Springs Road for a while until it finds its permanent home. Part of the reason is that when they moved there, there were already some businesses that had certain periods of time reserved. There's the pumpkin patch there, and then there'll be the Christmas tree farm. So that's made them had to shift. And also there's the construction for the hospital that's going in when you turn. So the market is there. It's going strong. Just don't always expect it to be in the exact same place. But speaking of the exact same place, Doug Gosling, one of our guests tonight, has been in the exact same place for a really long time under many different names. And that is such a good thing. Farallon Gardens, I forget what it was called now, after Farallon Gardens.
Center for Seven Generations.
That's right, Center for Seven Generations. And then did it go straight to Occidental Arts and Ecology mm-hmm. after that? Mm-hmm. So it's just three names.
Yep.
Just three names. And with you taking care of the mother garden the whole time, which I just think is, that's one of the best things that's been happening in this county over the last three decades that I've really been paying attention to this sort of thing.
It is 30 years.
Yeah.
This year.
Oh, wow.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah. No. Well, congratulations, and congratulations to the land. It's so great that that really incredible piece of property has been able to continue under your care.
Hmm.
And you're now open for a time. You have a nursery that's open
on
the weekends?
We have a new nursery, an amazing new nursery. I think it's the most beautiful nursery on earth, actually.
I have to get out there.
People have said that. It's kind of remarkable. But we just, a month ago, opened up on weekends. We're going to be open on weekends through November 6th, I think mm-hmm. it is. So for another month, for 2 days, mm-hmm. a week, which is great.
Yes, it's excellent, and I will make it out there.
You must.
I will.
Yes.
Absolutely, I will. But you're here. It's sort of an annual tradition now to talk about Calabash, and we have Ron Karp. Ron, you're executive director of Food for Thought, right?
Yes.
Okay, got that right. Done it enough times. I should get it right now. So we've got Calabash coming up, and Calabash Festival of Art and Gourds, major fundraiser for Food for Thought. And is it October 7th?
It is. It's October 7th from 1 to 5. That's a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So a week from today.
A week from today. So anything new happening?
Well, one thing that is a wonderful new thing is that the AIDS Memorial is open.
Oh, it is. Oh, great.
Yes, it's finished and it's open. Uh-huh. And it's the first and only, I believe, AIDS Memorial in Sonoma County. And it's in the garden. And it's this beautiful place where you can sit. It's sort of, I think when it was envisioned, someone had this idea that we would create a grotto where you could sit. And that's really what it feels like.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. There's a rock wall and a water feature and a bench to sit. And the garden is kind of overgrown this year. So you sort of feel like you're in a cave almost.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know a few years ago you had that bean house or something,
right.
Which was such a love. I loved that. I want one at my house. It's such a lovely natural structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we haven't had one for a while. We need to build another one because it was a wonderful feature.
Yeah, and it was just like beans on poles that formed a structure, right?
Yeah, but it was a willow and apple wood construction, and it was rather significant. I mean, it actually mm-hmm. had cement piers.
Oh, it did? Okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
And a guy named Alan Chivins did most of the work, and mm-hmm. it was quite a beautiful thing.
Yeah, yeah it was. Really it was really thing. Lovely. So where... You have the fence with the archway going through the fence out mm-hmm. into the garden. Where in relationship to that is the memorial?
I guess it would be the south east corner.
Okay.
Yeah, the southeast corner of the garden.
That's
kind of in the low spot. There was a water feature there before. Yeah. There was a little pond.
And wasn't that where African musicians
yes.
would play right near
right.
there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a wisteria arbor trellis over it. So it's the same spot, but it's been... changed. It's been opened up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's larger than it was before, and there's a rock wall, and I wish I could remember what the quote is on the wall, but it's something about, it refers to the fact that we will meet, but there will be one empty chair, meaning that the person is gone
mm-hmm.
Who is being remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a memorial to people who have died of AIDS, not necessarily in Sonoma County, but anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the features is that there are copper leaves that you can trace someone's name, you can etch someone's name on, and then hang it into a rebar arbor.
Oh,
it's
how
like
nice.
A wisteria vine.
That's wonderful.
So it's covered with names,
uh-huh.
and they're all hanging.
And they move in the breeze.
They move in the breeze, and they make this wonderful sound, uh-huh. and the copper flashes as well. So it's very sweet.
Yeah.
Really,
you know, there's been this tradition. I saw it up at the Russian River Rose Company, where they had wishing trees, mm. and they had ribbons different colored ribbons with pieces of paper and then pens. And you could write your wish and tie it to a tree. And they just fluttered and, you know, caught the sunlight. And then I was in downtown Calistoga. And there are all these wishing trees. You walk down the main street of Calistoga, and as you get closer to, I think it's Indian Springs, there's three or four, and each one has a theme. And then there are pens, there are little tags, and, you know, there are different kinds of remembrances. And it's like, it sort of seems like this spontaneous thing that's arisen, but I really like it.
Interesting.
And I can't wait to see this, the copper and the sound of the copper. It must be really lovely.
It is.
And what a nice thing.
And I'm in the process of planting plants that have significance around loss and grief and remembrance and transformation. You know, through history, people have used plants in those human processes, you know, around the times of death. And
Now, other than Love Lies Bleeding, which is a name for amaranth, what else? What are some of the other plants?
Well, there are some guardian plants, like angelica.
Okay.
You know, it's sort of a holy plant in European culture. And also white sage, you know, in Native American culture, the smudging sage. Those are two sort of guardians. But then there are things like rosemary. Rosemary
for
is
remembrance.
For remembrance.
Absolutely.
Yes. Borage for courage. I mean, you know, a lot of these things that, that people have actually used plants to fortify themselves and go through whatever, you know, whether it's medicinal, but also spiritual.
It's a topic I'm really interested in, which is why I'm asking for the names of the plants. I'm fascinated by that side of plant and human interaction.
Yeah, I mean, just this idea that plants have been allies, I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, it's been wonderful to do the research and to actually look for things. Things like ashwagandha, which is an Ayurvedic herb, similar, used for similar indications as echinacea. And so there's echinacea there as well, which is all about, you know, building the immune system and, you know, being strong through. So, you know, the memorial is really for the, you know, in remembrance of people who have passed, but it's also for the people who are behind.
Sure.
And that's sort of what the, have been left behind. And that's, you know, what a lot of the plantings are about. There's Monarda or bergamot is another one that is supposed to be really good for, I think it's also remembrance. So you know, slowly I want all the plants around the memorial to have something to do with the fact that it's a memorial. And then also I planted the Day of the Dead marigold. You know, there's
great.
A traditional marigold,
actually,
you know, from Mexico that it was actually Aztec. That is traditionally put on altars during Day of the Dead. And so that's all over the place. And it's this beautiful single marigold. You know, I'm not that fond of marigolds in general, but this one's single, and it's probably about 3 feet tall, and it's kind of shrubby. So that's there, too.
That's great. And, you know, with Los Muertos coming up at the end of the month.
Yeah,
it's
that's
the perfect
true.
Timing. And Los Muertos altars are so beautiful.
Yeah.
And they're all about remembrance. So that, you know, about remembrance and, you know, honoring that departed person.
The memorial has an altar-like feel. You know, there's, because of the wall, but also there's a chair that someone who actually works for the food bank made, a sculpture that's kind of a fanciful chair in a way, but it's to signify the empty chair. And so it really does have a kind of an altar-like feeling when you sit there.
So that'll be one of the things that people can just visit as they wish at Calabash. But let's tell people, in case someone doesn't know, what is Calabash? What is?
Well, it's quite a fancy festival, actually.
And is this the 12th?
12th, yes.
Right on, Michelle. I got it.
You know, before I say what Calabash is, I was thinking when you were talking about Doug being in the county for 30 years at the same place, that he's actually been at Food for Thought creating these gardens for almost 14 years. And that really surprises me to think about how long it's been. But one of the things about our garden this year is every year it gets nicer and nicer. This year the plants are almost supersize. I think we have a 20-foot tall bean teepee and 15-foot tall amaranth and 5-foot kale plants.
Wow. What about gourd
trellises?
Are there gourd trellises?
Yeah, there are gourds growing in many different places.
I love those.
Yeah. So the gardens have just gotten more and more complex and healthy, and the soil keeps improving every year. And we're so fortunate to have Doug. And, of course, without these gardens, we wouldn't have calabash. Mm-hmm. Because what calabash is, it's using the gourds that we grow in our gardens to make art. And so we have 95 artists that are featuring their works. There will be almost 120 pieces. And you asked what's new about calabash. Of course, every year the gourds are new.
Yeah, the gourds are different every time.
And I think that they get better every year, too, mm-hmm. because the artists come and they see what the other artists are doing with their work, and they learn, and they incorporate new techniques. And mm-hmm. each year people seem to come up with better and better art.
I think it was 3, maybe 4 years ago when I both did one but also bought one, and I still look at my penguin. it was just this adorable penguin made out of a gourd. I love it. I absolutely love it.
We have, in addition to the silent auction of these works of art,
and that's the core of it, is the silent auction, the bidding on
gourd art.
So people will be able to buy them, and you'll be able to own an original piece of art that no one else can say that they have, obviously, because they're really unique. And in addition to that, we will be having excellent Sonoma County wine and food.
Yeah, you do past appetizers,
we
right?
Do.
So you don't have to go deal with some buffet line.
Right.
Yeah, and it's really good food because it's almost all of it is really local food.
Mm-hmm.
And excellent purveyors, local farms, cheese makers, there'll be some meats, and the wineries in the area. So it's just a celebration of what the local community can do to come together and help people with AIDS.
Mm-hmm. And then are people still, staff still walking around in their wonderful gourd hats?
Yes, and it seems like every year there are more, because more and more people decide they want to make one.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, there's that as well. I mean, I think the whole event is so festive.
It is.
And
it's wonderful.
So colorful and beautiful. It's like mm-hmm. everywhere you look, there's beauty. You know, the art and the flower arrangements and mm-hmm. and the gourd hats and the people. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a beautiful event.
It's the staff only that wear the gourd hats, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh.
There are some volunteers. And I think there have been a few guests who have actually come with
hats. Because I have about 45 miniature gourds. And I may have to make a gourd hat for next year. I was going to make Christmas ornaments for my Hawaiian Crafts Fair, but I'm not doing that. So I'm thinking they're just hanging out at my house because they want to become a gourd hat.
Yes.
Maybe you can weave those small gourds into your hair.
That's true. We're actually going to be having a juggling turkey. Because every year there's a turkey auction. The reason why I'm thinking of this is that the turkey is going to be juggling these egg gourds that look like eggs.
Uh-huh.
And they're about the size of a turkey egg, so it's kind of perfect. I actually found some in the garden, fresh ones, so that they're heavy. But every year we do this toward the end of the event. There's a turkey auction that is trying to raise money specifically to buy turkeys for Thanksgiving for clients.
Mm-hmm.
And this year there's going to be a turkey there.
Who knows how to juggle?
Yes.
Well, there you go. If we haven't convinced you to go to Calabash yet, resist a juggling turkey?
Right.
And you also do like gift baskets. Is it an auction of gift baskets?
That's the raffle.
Oh, the raffle. Okay,
yeah.
There we go.
And this year we're expanding that a little bit so that more people can win.
They're really spectacular.
I know.
Yeah, they are.
I know,
it's just stunning.
One of our board members takes that on as a personal project.
Uh-huh.
And makes hundreds of calls and gets really incredible things donated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for just $5, you can win a prize that might be worth $600 or $800.
Yeah, they're really beautiful. Why don't we take a little musical break? thinking about those little gourds, and we'll be right back with more.
Thank you.
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Lynn and Jordan here on KRCB. We are talking with Ron Karp and Doug Gosling about Food for Thought and its upcoming Calabash celebration, one of the great celebrations of fall. And one element we haven't talked about yet is the music, and we just heard from one of the musicians who will be there.
Mm-hmm. That was Daniel Berkman, and he has played at every Calabash. In fact, he doesn't ever want to miss Calabash. So I bring him back every year. He's a kora player. And a kora is a West African lute with 22 strings, and it's made of a gourd. All the musicians play instruments made of gourds. Mm-hmm. And it's a very large gourd, and it's a very beautiful instrument, as you heard. It's mm-hmm. it's harp-like, or yeah. it is a harp. And it's the music, the instrument is originally from West Africa. And Daniel studied with several West African teachers. He's an American. He lives down in the city. Mm-hmm. But he's a beautiful kora player. And then we have Mamadou and Vanessa Sidibe. And Mamadou Sidibe is from Mali. And he mm-hmm. plays an instrument called a Kamala Ngoni, which sort of looks like a kora, but it has fewer strings and has a very different sound. It's very bluesy. And it's got a very different sound. Mm-hmm. And his wife plays percussion, and she plays an instrument called a nyarka,
which is
it's actually not. It's a metal rod that is that she rubs, but she's sort of the percussion accompanist with him. And then this year there are two new musicians. There's a guy named Peter Van Gelder, who I think when I mention his name to people who know Indian music, he plays mm-hmm. a sitar. Mm-hmm. He plays a bass sitar, and apparently he's one of the best sitar players in the country. So that's kind of exciting. He is on the faculty at the Ali Akbar Khan School down in Marin County. So we're excited to have him, and he's coming with another musician who's going to be playing another gourd instrument called a tampura, mm-hmm. and I don't know what that is. I think it's a drum.
It sounds like something fried.
Yes, it does. It's true. And then there's a guy from Santa Cruz named Jim Griner who plays a shakeray, which is a gourd instrument that has beads on it. Mm, uh-huh. And apparently he's one of the greatest shakeray players in the country, and he's also a teacher. And if you go on YouTube, there are many videos of uh-huh. him teaching shakeray. And he's bringing other gourd instruments. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they are, but mm-hmm. I think it's going to be really interesting this year.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Really fun.
Cool. What does Calabash do or allow Food for Thought to do? How does it help the organization?
It's not just that it raises money, but it's also that it brings people to see our facility. Mm-hmm. And that's a really important thing because, you know, it's one thing to hear about what we do and maybe decide to become a donor and send a check in the mail, but to actually see the significance of the work that we do. The scale is kind of hard to imagine until you get there and you see that it's a large facility and there's a lot of food that goes in and out of the doors. We're feeding 650 families in Sonoma County that are that have HIV and AIDS or are affected by it, including I think about 30 or 40 children. And last year that amounted to about 15,500 meals. I mean, 15,500 grocery orders. That's enough food for an entire week for a person. That's a lot of food. Mm-hmm. And it includes meats and high-quality proteins, you know, meats, fish, tofu, fresh vegetables, not only from our gardens, but from other local farms, mm-hmm. Fresh vegetables, fruits, canned foods, breads. We get a lot of breads donated from local bakeries. And so it's a very nutritious batch of food that we give out every week. Our program has been put together with the help of a nutritionist. So we have a nutritionist that comes in every week and meets with clients and does cooking classes to teach people how to use the food that we have and to make food that's really nutritious. Mm-hmm. We've always known that, or at least we thought we knew, that it was important to have nutritious food in order for our clients to be healthy. And recently there's been some articles that have been published that have actually, where there have been studies done that prove that people that have access to food on a regular basis and who eat healthy food live longer, have less medical complications, and are generally much healthier than people that don't. And that's people with HIV that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So these services are really critical to the health of our clients.
Yeah, it's such a good thing that you do, and it seems like for a long time, certainly in the second half of the 80s and throughout much of the 90s, news about AIDS was really prominent. I mean, you heard a lot about it in just the mainstream news, and now you don't hear quite so much. And so I think it falls off people's radar.
That's true, but I would say that it's probably still, if not the most significant, one of the most significant public health issues mm-hmm. that we grapple with as a society.
Yeah, I agree.
And part of that is because it's a preventable disease and it's transmittable. And the costs of having it are so great, both for the individual and for society. So it's really important that we continue to work effectively with this disease. By keeping people healthy, we really cut down on the ability, of the possibility of it being transmitted. Because when people are healthy and they have a low viral load, that keeps the virus under control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all really interesting. And I think one of the great things about Calabash, sort of maybe a side benefit, is that it does keep this issue, you know, because there's so much celebration, it does keep this issue more on people's radar screen. And, you know, we shouldn't forget about it.
That's true. And it's also a very effective fundraiser for us. Mm-hmm. We hope to raise about $60,000, mm-hmm. which, you know, it represents a lot of food. It's probably probably about 2 months worth of our purchased food budget. Mm-hmm. So it's very significant.
Yeah, and then the other kinds of fundraising that you do, I know that the grocery store fundraising where give people a flyer when they're going into the market and they come out and put...
Food drives. Yeah,
food drives. What other sort of fundraising, in the community?
We have a garden tour in May, the week after Mother's Day.
Oh, that's like the beautiful gardens.
Yeah, all Western County gardens. That's a wonderful event.
In homes.
Homes and gardens.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's in the west part of the county, you get to see some really nice estates that are hidden away that you'd mm-hmm. never otherwise see.
And you can just, you know, get all totally jealous and wish that you could garden like they do.
And we also do Dining Out for Life, which is coming up at the end of November. It's always the Thursday after Thanksgiving. That's actually our largest fundraiser.
Oh, that one is. That one's bigger than Calabash.
Right. So on one night or one day, we have about 80 restaurants and mm-hmm. About 5,000 people go out to eat, and last year we raised $130,000, which is a lot of money.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so that's a really important...
Yeah, and we'll be talking about that on Mouthful, and it's so cool because all you have to do is go out to eat.
I know.
You know? It's like, how easy is that?
The restaurants do all the work.
Yeah, it's really... I love seeing how the restaurants come together mm-hmm. for that, and that's something that takes place all over the country, right?
It does, yeah. And the event is in about 65 cities and raises mm-hmm. about $4 million. So we love that event. I mean, I like food a lot, and I like to eat out in restaurants, so it really fits well with what we do.
Yeah, and all the restaurants, there's a very festive air. When you go out on that day.
It's really true.
Yeah.
You know, one of the restaurant owners told me once that it's the only day where everyone in the restaurant feels like they care about each other. Like, you know, usually you're sitting there and you think the next table is talking too loud or someone's irritating you. But on that night, everyone's got that, like you said, that festive atmosphere.
Yeah.
They're all feeling like they're there for the same reason, mm-hmm. and the restaurant owners love it because it's a night when, you know, when they really feel the beauty and the love of all the people mm-hmm. that are out there doing something for the same cause.
Yeah. Now, what about Food for Thought Antiques or?
Food for Thought Antiques.
Yeah, what is this?
That's a store that we just had our fifth anniversary. Uh-huh. It was donated in a bequest. The owner of the mm-hmm. store died and left it to us. And they're running our this year they're running our sales table, so they're going to be bringing a small selection of things from the store.
Mm-hmm. It was the store just a, I got confused because there were some emails that I got about the store, but then there were some emails about Food for Thought, mid-century modern something.
Oh, well, that was a brief special special display.
Okay.
It may still be there, actually.
Okay. But yeah, that sounded really cool, and I couldn't go, and I wanted to know more about it.
There's a little cottage out in the back of the store, and it was all set up with mid-century items, and I think it might still be set up.
And where is the store?
That's on Gravenstein Highway South. The address is 2701 Gravenstein Highway South. So it's on the way out of Sebastopol. Mm-hmm. Towards Katati on the left, and it's right across the street from the Antique Society. So it's a little, it's like Antique Row. It's a little
right. It's right across from the Antique Society. That's a great landmark.
And it's a really wonderful store. There's an amazing selection of different items and really good deals, especially if you compare it to buying something new.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to call it turning antiques into food.
It's really a wonderful store. I mean, my sister isn't even into antiques necessarily, but she stops there every time. She volunteers at Food for Thought once a month, and it's her favorite thing to do because it's a wonderful store. It's really beautifully appointed, and the staff who work there do a beautiful job of creating displays and finding interesting stuff. So I think it's a singular antique store.
Yeah,
really stands out.
Sometimes people think antiques, well, that's not for me, but the store is a lot more than antiques, like you said, the mid-century display.
Mm-hmm.
We also have an outdoor yard with rusty stuff, and a lot of people love that.
I love that.
One-of-a-kind things, and there's so many different items in that store that really aren't antiques. And, you might find the perfect dresser that's one-fourth of what you'd have to pay, and you know that you're doing good things at the same time. You're supporting people with HIV.
Yeah, and you're getting something unique and doing something good at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just think, the consumer can be so powerful when they get off the sort of big box, major corporate stores and start, spending money with their neighbors.
Yeah,
and
it really fits
just
into
one of the great ways to do it.
It fits into that buy local.
Yeah.
Not only that, the items are, a lot of them are donated, so you're getting, everything's really local.
And so if people are cleaning out their closets and garages and stuff, they can also make donations.
That's right. And we also, the store does estate sales, and we just had one over the weekend, not very far from the store, actually. It was on this road called Gilcrest, which comes out of... it's off of 116, not too far from Katati. I'd never been back there, but that is one beautiful area. And we had a house full of incredible stuff. So we do that also, which is not only a way for us to make money, but it's a great service for people that need to downsize or move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really great.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that you do, and I don't know the tie-in with Food for Thought, but I'm sure you will tell us, and that's Project Africa. I know it's all somehow all tied in together.
Project Africa is actually a program of Food for Thought.
Okay.
And it's been around since 2004, I think.
Maybe 2006.
That's what I said, 2006. I don't know. You might want to tell the story. I think the origin of Project Africa is really has a great story behind it.
So. Well... we were just talking about an agency in Minneapolis, Minnesota, called Project Open Arms. And I went to a conference of agencies around the country that serve people with HIV back in 2004 with another staff member. And this agency had a project in Africa, this agency in Minneapolis, and they still do. It's in Cape Town in South Africa, outside of Cape Town in those informal settlements. And they had a little booth set up, and they were telling people about it. And then we also were treated to an incredible keynote address by the UN envoy for AIDS to Africa. And he was talking about how people in Africa are suffering from AIDS. You know, most of the people with AIDS in the world live in sub-Saharan Africa, and that they needed our help because the epidemic was so devastating that it was wiping out an entire generation of people and really stressing the entire social and physical structures of these countries. And looking out in the room at all the agencies like us and the many others around the country, that's where the expertise of treating of feeding people with AIDS really lies. And he implored us to do something. And I came back really thinking a lot about that. So did Rachel Gardner, the staff person that went. And we got together with some other volunteers from the organization, and we created Project Africa. It doesn't mean that we think that we can solve AIDS in Africa, or that we can feed everybody that needs food, but we can do something. And I thought a lot about what happened in this country in the early 80s when people with HIV and AIDS were just kind of left alone and not really helped, and the government didn't do much. And I didn't want to see the same thing happen. I felt like our organization could do something, and we really have. We've done great work.
Mm-hmm. So what is it, what hands-on things take place there?
Well, since the beginning, I mean, we did spend probably the better part of a year researching, you know, what is it that we might do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can a food bank in West Sonoma County do in Africa?
Yeah.
So we did spend some time researching other projects that do work in Africa, and ended up finding some local people who were actually working there. Several doctors who were AIDS doctors who were doing volunteer work over there,
mm-hmm.
and we invited
by
them.
By local, do you mean in Sonoma County?
In Sonoma County,
oh, and
yeah.
Dr.
Anna Baylor was one of them, and
Dr. Mark Matherda,
right? I was forgetting his first name. And we talked to them and actually invited them. Anna Baylor was actually on our committee for quite a long time. And we did spend a couple of years supporting several different organizations. There was one in Senegal. There was one in Kenya. There was actually two in Namibia. But over time, really found an incredible resonance with a particular project in Namibia that is, you know, sort of has become almost a sister organization of Food for Thought, because it uses food to serve people with AIDS. You know, it's an organization called Hope Initiatives, and it's in an informal settlement outside of Windhoek, which is the capital of Namibia. And Namibia is a country down, it's north of South Africa, so it's in the southern.
And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, Namibia is also where some, where Cheetah, one of the cheetah organizations is based. So
yeah,
lots
there's a
of,
cheetah preserve.
Yeah, a lot of really good work going on in Namibia to stop the cheetahs from being, you know, going extinct.
Well, in fact, Namibia has one of the best success stories in terms of preventing poaching. I mean, there's very little poaching in Namibia because there's been so much education of the people about the importance of conservation, but also the fact that tourism can really stimulate the economy and provide jobs that are actually more sustainable than poaching in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
So there are game preserves, you know, all over Namibia, and several amazing big game parks.
Mm-hmm.
But the cheetah preserve is an amazing project. It was started by an American woman.
Yeah, she comes to Safari West, I believe.
Yes,
Lori Marker.
Yes,
Lori Marker,
exactly.
Cheetah Conservation. Oh, what's it? I get it mixed up with Bat Conservation International. I don't think it's Cheetah Conservation International, but it's close to that.
Yeah, something like the Cheetah Conservation Reserve,
I think. She comes out every October
at
other times, but I know that it's, I think it's the second week in October for years. She's been making a presentation at Safari West, and I've been there for several of those presentations, and her dedication is breathtaking. I mean, you can tell her anything, like, you know, I've really got to go right now because I'm about to deliver a baby, and she'll say, we have to save the cheetahs. I mean, no matter what you say to her, she is so passionate and so unwavering in this passion. Her response to absolutely is everything. Yes, I know you're about to deliver, but we have to save the cheetahs. And it's... I love her. You know, I love to see that commitment. It gives me hope, and just as this Hope Initiative does. Now, you've gone several times, and you've put in a couple of orchards?
Ron has gone. Actually, how many of it? Actually, quite a few of the people on the committee have gone at one time or another, depending on what they need. I mean, this is a nonprofit that's established before we got there, that has a very clear idea of who they are and what they need to do. And we are collaborators, and basically we serve them. And when they ask for our assistance, they sort of identify what the need is. I mean, Ron was there in the early days when they were setting themselves up. And I don't know, you could talk about what you did. But
well, you know, we spent a lot of time doing strategic planning and, you know, management consulting and helping them, you know, figure out how they were going to run their organization. I mean, they were already running it, obviously, but they were growing, and they wanted to do more, and they wanted to be better organized. And they're grappling with some difficult issues because they're operating in an informal settlement. And, you know, it always amazes me to see the kind of work that people can do in a place like that where they're serving a population that's living in shacks that are literally made out of tin or cardboard. And, you know, the conditions are difficult, and they're working with all these orphans, and they're feeding the caregivers that are taking care of the orphans. And, you know, so we did our best to help them. But the people that run this project are really outstanding people. And, you know, I feel like I learned as much or more from them as they learned from me.
Mm-hmm. They're a couple from Zimbabwe. Patricia Sola and John Mafukidze, and they founded Hope Initiatives. And she actually has a degree in early childhood development or psychology or something like that. Mm-hmm. They're very savvy and visionary about what they're doing. They really understand the importance of capacity building, about training staff and training the people they serve, so that they ultimately can be more self-sufficient, so that they're not just receiving handouts.
Right, so they can build on what they get.
There's a lot of education that goes on in this place. And it's a, you know, it's a small place. It's a soup kitchen, basically. Mm-hmm. They make, they feed kids, and I think it's around 200 kids, 5 days a week, two meals a day.
Wow.
And it's a tiny little kitchen, and they're committed to serving good food, which is where the garden came into the story. They actually were bought a piece of property by an Italian NGO, a nonprofit, actually bought them a piece of land, and they were able to build their own facility. And that's when they started thinking about creating a garden, because they actually had some land, land. And that's when I got called in.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. Now, if people want to find out more about Project Africa, can they go to the Food for Thought website? If I remember right, there's a link with information about Project Africa.
There's information. And the website is fftfoodbank.org, and the FFT is the initials Food for Thought.
Food for Thought, there you go. Mm-hmm. We're going to take another quick musical break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Yes, it's Mouthful. Who did we just listen to?
We heard Mamadou Sidibe from Mali.
I want to hear him.
Kamala Ngoni.
Just for his name. He's got a fabulous name.
He's a wonderful guy. He's a really sweet man.
So we should... We only have about 6 minutes, 6 or 7 minutes left, which is pretty long in radio. But we should give people all the details about going to Calabash, because that's really the first thing on the agenda. It's taking place next Sunday. It's 1 to 5.
1 to 5.
You can fit it in after your farmer's market and before going home to listen to Mouthful. It's perfect.
And there's all kinds of good nibbles.
Yes.
So you can have your dinner there.
You can.
So tickets are available. You can either come by the food bank in Forestville. You can call us at 887-1647.
That's 887-1647.
Or you can buy them online at our website, fftfoodbank.org. And the FFT is the initials of Food for Thought.
Yeah. And, you know, if you forget, just Google. You just do Food for Thought Forestville, and that top link will be the one that takes you.
That's right.
To the website. How much are tickets?
They're $45 in advance and $50 at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And not only it goes to a good cause, but it actually is a good deal. You might think it's a lot of money, but the quality of the food and the wine, these are wines that at restaurants would be $15 a glass.
Mm-hmm.
You really do get your money's worth.
And then just the chance to see all of the art.
Mm-hmm.
But also the chance, if you go, you absolutely have to go out into the gardens. You know, the gardens are just so beautiful. And then to see the new AIDS Memorial, it sounds like that's something that you just want to carve out some time and go sit.
And you can hear this wonderful music,
mm-hmm.
too.
Now, the year I was there, I've been there just a couple of years, I'm ashamed to say, that I hope to attend this year. There were some little workshop sorts of things going on, too. Is that going to be happening?
No, not this year. But there is going to be garden art. I don't know if we mentioned that.
No, we didn't.
Yeah,
we were going to.
There's going to be...
Tell me about that. I love garden art.
8 or 10 pieces of garden art in the garden that you
mm-hmm.
can buy, as well as the gourd art.
Is it the same sort of thing where you bid on it, or do you buy it
No,
outright?
These are just purchased.
Okay.
And they are local artists as well.
Oh, cool. What sort of things?
There is a metal sculpture. I haven't actually seen it. We have, mm-hmm. We'll place it the day before.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that it's all very nice, very
uh-huh.
lovely things.
Well, there's been so much garden art happening.
Mm-hmm.
You see it so much these days. And certainly, I love what Patrick Amiot has done for Sebastopol
right.
with his
yes.
whimsical stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But other things, just like, you look and there's like a daisy or a tulip made out of rusty metal. And it just... It always makes you smile.
That's true.
It just makes you feel good.
Yeah.
So, so you see that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
What we didn't mention was that we'll be giving tours of Food for Thought.
That's right, yeah.
And that's a great thing to
uh-huh.
See
the actual food bank.
Right, and it's a great place to volunteer as well. And we wouldn't be able to do the work that we do without volunteers. In fact, there are, I think, maybe 100 volunteers involved with Calabash. It's a huge undertaking. Mm-hmm. And in total, we have probably 600, 650 volunteers.
Wow.
We only have 7 staff members that work at the food mm-hmm. bank. 2 of them are part-time. So without the volunteers, our ability to do this work would be much more limited.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they do almost everything.
Yeah, and one thing, as an outsider, somebody who doesn't spend much time there, it's striking to me what a happy place it is. I think that there's still that you hear HIV, you hear AIDS, and I mean, like anything, hepatitis C, cancer, whatever, you hear disease and you think, you get the shivers. So it's like, that's so sad. Food for Thought is one of the happiest places I have ever been. It just feels so good to be there. And the people who come, I was there at one point probably about this time of year, and some clients were walking in. And as they walked in along the fence, there were sun gold tomatoes. And they just were picking little tomatoes and eating them like candy as they walked in. And it's just, it's a happy place.
We've created a really welcoming environment. And, the garden, to be able to arrive and have a place that has a garden of that quality and beauty, that's amazing as well. But then you walk in the door and there's high ceilings, and we put a lot of work into making the lobby a welcoming place.
And where did the property come from? And we should say where it is.
It's in Forestville.
But it's on
it's
East
in downtown
Railroad?
Forestville on Railroad Avenue, which is one block down from the main drive through Forestville.
And it's right there on a corner.
Yeah.
Corner lot, so there's a lot of outside space.
And we own the property. In 1997-98, we did a capital campaign and built the building. So we own the building and the property,
which
is a really great thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's important to have this welcoming environment because there's a lot of stigma associated with AIDS. And a lot of people, it's a big hurdle to overcome to come into a food bank and, you know, to be able to come into a place and be welcomed by such friendly people in an environment like that, that makes it so much better for people.
Yeah. And it's also, we should say, that it's not a means-tested food bank.
That's true.
You know,
the only thing you have to do to become a client is to live in Sonoma County and have a diagnosis of HIV.
Right.
So you don't have to fill out any burdensome forms or...
you don't have to turn in income statements every 3 months.
Right.
You know, it's support if you're living with that disease.
Right.
And that's it. And I think that's a great thing. And we are just about out of time. So again, Calabash, the website is fftfoodbank.org. Is that right?
That's right.
It is on Railroad in Forestville. It's easy to find. You can stop by and get tickets, $45 in advance, $50. And going back to what we talked about when we first went on the air, Occidental Arts and Ecology Center Nursery is open from what hours?
From 9 to 5.
On Saturday and Sunday?
I'm sorry, 10 to 5.
10 to 5. Oh, good.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday, yes.
9 to 5 is too early.
Right, that is a little early. Yeah.
And
through
it's there
November
on...
November 5th, yeah.
Coleman Valley Road, just out of downtown. You see a sign?
Yes, there are signs all over the place.
Yeah, so you can go and get your perennials and winter annuals, I assume?
No, it's just perennials.
Just perennials,
and focusing
right
on perennial edibles.
Cool.
And medicinal and culinary herbs. That's
excellent.
Kind of the direction we're going.
Cool.
Yeah.
I will be out there soon, and you should go too. And on that note, we're done. Be sure to tune in next week when we're going to have a really, really yummy show. We'll have three people in the studio, two of them from Cheeses from France, bringing lots of French cheeses with them. And then as a special guest, we will have my 11-year-old grandson, Lucas, who has been on the show before, and he's going to the French-American Charter School, and he has had a passion for cheese since before he could say the word. So he's going to be one of the people doing the cheese tasting and telling you his impressions. So that's next Sunday at 7 here on Mouthful, the One Country's Most Delicious Hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Have a great week.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Praises be. Praises be. Time for dinner now. Let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. We are your North Bay Public Media Connection, KRCB FM, Windsor, Santa Rosa.